Married with Channels podcast. Married couple talking the TVs, the televisions. I'm the husband, Moose.
I'm the wife, Jody.
Welcome to our TV viewing room, where we talk about the hot shows and some of the shows we're just watching. Some thoughts on them. And today, this week, a little late because of kid stuff. I don't know if anybody's heard of a thing called a lice.
Head lice.
Head lice. Which I don't think I ever got that as a kid.
Oh, I did. It was awful.
Was it like what we went through the other day where it's like everything gets washed? You were picking through our 7-year-old's hair.
Yes.
Washing that.
Yeah. If you do it right and you want to get rid of them, yeah. I mean, I was uncomfortable. It was very, very itchy for me. And I think the same for our child. And yeah, it's just really a pain.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass and it's frustrating, but we're on our way back.
Yeah.
That's why we're a little late this week. And the youngest has a sty in her eye.
Yeah.
Which is fun. Never ends.
Super great timing.
So between all that, trying to stay awake to watch some shows, let's get right into it now with Game of Thrones.
All right.
Episode 4. This is the episode after they defeat the Night King and the Dead. And I got to say, this is the first episode we've done of the podcast where I'm looking forward to not talking about Game of Thrones.
Really?
Just because the episode was disappointing, to say the least.
Okay.
It was kind of boring. There were some moments there where like, what? Really?
Yeah.
And, you know, there wasn't any really good action pieces.
Okay.
I mean, where do I begin?
Well, let's start at the beginning. Can I just say, though, that I really did enjoy Jon's speech at the little funeral that they had.
That's probably the only really good part of that episode.
Yeah.
I mean, visually, it was cool
to
see those pyres that they made, right? That's what that's called, right? When you light somebody on fire. So elaborate.
Well,
and so many of them.
And you get a glimpse of maybe what you think is to come, like John as a king and a ruler and someone who's going to do the right thing for mankind. You know, it's kind of his message for me that I liked about that. But
yeah, no, that was very regal and leader-like.
Yes.
But then you had Danny being kind of like, everybody likes John. So, oh, Gendry, you're Lord of Stormborn or whatever the hell. So, I mean, theoretically, she's trying to make a tactical move by getting a lord on her side. You know, he's going to vouch for her whenever the shit hits the fan.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's going to work out for her. She just came across as just kind of bitchy. And I could see, I've heard some theories where they're saying she's going to take after her father. She's going to be the Mad Queen.
Oh, yeah.
You almost kind of
drunk
see,
with power.
Yeah, you almost see maybe a little, she's getting really wired up. Like, she's getting pissed off.
Yeah, she bothers me. Her jealousy and her, like, insecurity. Like say you'll swear to me, you know. Say you'll be loyal to me. And
yeah, like, you know.
Okay, we get it.
Looking back, I don't know if I ever really liked Danny.
Yeah.
I don't know, it feels weird calling her Danny.
Yeah, kind of.
I don't know what to call her. Daenerys.
The Mother of Dragons.
The Mother of Dragons.
That's my name.
But she's always been kind of like, I am the queen and I am the...
Yeah.
What was that?
That was me, sorry.
Oh, what was that?
I just kind of...
Oh, okay.
Did a lip smack thing, sorry.
Oh, no, the tech geek in me, especially with this new interface, I'm like, did something happen?
No, it was me.
Is this a piece of shit too?
Sorry.
It's like, don't do that.
I know. No. You're not supposed to do that.
No,
sorry.
But she, she's always kind of been a little bit annoying. I mean, I love her confidence and she kicks ass, but there wasn't, okay, so I guess what I'm trying to say is she's not super endearing.
She seems
only moments like a I remember
pouty, spoiled girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only remember feeling like sympathetic for her when obviously she's getting kind of raped.
Right.
And, you know, when Khal Drogo died.
Yeah.
And that whole situation. Go ahead.
Well, I think she is just, like, ultra competitive. And this is what my destiny is. Like, she is just all in on this. And it's almost a little bit too crazy Kool-Aid. Like, but can we talk about the other side of that, too? I got really annoyed with the whole John, like, I don't want the throne. And he has to say it, like, 10 million times about how he doesn't want that.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, well... You were the king of the north, though, and you lead men in battles, and, you know, you give speeches at funerals. Like, if that's not a leader and a king, I don't really know what is.
No, he's a king and he's a leader. He just doesn't quite know it or embrace it.
But I get tired of hearing that. Like, it's kind of annoying now. Like,
yeah. And That's a definite legitimate quibble with this episode, especially. It seemed like they were laying that on thick.
Yeah.
I think he said that at least three times about how I don't want to be king or I'm not supposed to be king. He's okay, shut up.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like humble bragging.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I don't want to race this car 200 miles per hour. I mean, I don't want to have to win the race. I mean, I really don't want to, but.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Okay, like, you twist my arm.
Yeah, there's a certain point, like, and when people espouse enough humility, it becomes kind of, like, insincere. Sure. I don't know. But anyway, Danny was staring down just daggers towards the Jon Snow backslapping party.
Yes.
You remember her at the end of the day? So this is jealous. The Starbucks scene that I'm talking about.
Yes.
Where that stupid Starbucks cup was in there. They digitally removed that. I don't know if you heard that.
No, I didn't hear that. I just heard it was there. And I'm like, man, these people have got good eyes because I did not notice that. I mean, but there are probably people that go frame by frame looking for hidden stuff. You know?
Yeah, but this one wasn't hard to miss. I mean, missed it. I fully admit that I missed it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are people who watch these things two or three times before they even comment about it.
True.
But she was giving him the evil eye, and then, you know, then she tried to go bone him in the fireplace, and
he wasn't really having that, which I was like, oh good, maybe this thing is gonna end.
Jon Snow playing hard to get. He's like, not today, I got a headache, baby.
Well, and you know, she even says as much later that she's super jealous, like in that scene in the room, like she's like, I see the way they look at you and how they treat you. And she wants that for herself, but John has earned that. And it's not that she hasn't been through hard stuff in life, but I don't know. That just doesn't make it automatic for you.
Yeah. Let's get into some of the other problems I have with this episode.
Sure.
Where am I gonna go here? I'll just jump right to the dragon stuff. You know, they're flying. She takes her. She's almost petulant. She's like, I'm taking my troops now.
Yeah,
we need to go now. And Sansa's like, well, we need to rest.
Yeah,
we just got done fighting zombies. Let's get a couple of days here.
Which reminds me, I'm sorry to go way way back. Backtrack here. But you said zombies, and I just had a thought. In the last episode, when they killed the Night King, didn't the zombies turn to dust? Didn't they just kind of crumble and fall down?
Yeah, yeah.
So how would
some of them dropped. Like the whites.
Uh-huh.
The whites, you know, like it's a regular foot soldier zombies.
Okay.
They just dropped.
Okay.
The dragon dropped.
Okay.
The White Walkers, which are like the lieutenant guys with the long hair, they turn to
dust.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was wondering, like,
Thanos snapped his finger.
Because some of those people that passed turned to walkers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then how, I thought they all turned to dust, and then I was like, how would they have bodies for the funeral then? That didn't make sense.
No, the ones that were raised just dropped.
Okay.
Just went back to being dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the only ones that turned to like dust, crystal, whatever, was Night King and his four Edgar Winters.
Okay.
They look like zombie Willie Nelsons.
Funny.
The yeah, so Danny on the dragons, they're on the ships, they're heading towards Stormborn, wherever the hell. And there's Euron Greyjoy throwing scorpion crossbows at him. So, A, how did she not see that? She's up high on a dragon. How does she not see a fleet of ships? Even if they're in a cove, mm-hmm. in a bay,
yeah.
for him to get a shot on the dragon,
mm-hmm.
she would have to have his sight as well as her sight.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, and then she goes, like you pointed out, she dives straight ahead into it.
Yeah, it's like they're playing chicken.
Which is absurd.
Like jousting, kind of.
Yeah.
It's like jousting.
I'm sorry your baby dragon got killed.
Yeah.
And plopped to the ocean like a sack of potatoes. But you gotta assess what's going on here, honey. This is like the battle for the kingdom.
Yeah, she
can't take any little, you know, aggression for, you know, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Words.
Uh-huh. She is very emotionally driven.
Right. Just like a woman, you know?
Oh, yeah, sure. No. She just does not kind of think before she acts with some of that emotion involved. And I don't think you can do that in battle. I think you have to have strategy and planning and be smart. You have to outsmart the enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think, no, that's totally right. It's just, it's just a little unbelievable there.
Sure.
And also, you know, they blast through all the good guys' ships. And they're all in the water and they wash up on shore. And so what? Euron Greyjoy's fleet just turns around? Why wouldn't you go finish him off?
Yeah, I don't know.
You got him in the water. Worst case, they're going to drown.
Sure.
Best case, you kill them. I mean, you could kill a good chunk of their, you know, people, leadership even. So I don't know. That was just a little unbelievable.
Sure.
I don't know, but the visual of Danny and the Unsullied in front of King's Landing's gates, like that visual of them and the field in the background.
Yes,
they look so small.
Yes,
what are you looking to accomplish there?
Yeah,
I know you're trying to get Cersei to bend the knee or to surrender.
I figured that would come to criticism, but I think it was just kind of following Tyrion's advice, like, go there and try to talk first. At least that way, then you can say you tried everything. And Cersei wouldn't, back down.
She has got resting bitch face locked down.
Cersei?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She is just, Lena Headey, I think is how you say her name. She has perfected the resting bitch face.
Yeah.
And it's not like over the top. It's just perfect.
Yeah.
If there's a school on how to do resting bitch face, she should be the main professor.
Sure. She is great. She's a great actress and she is believable. And I thought that was a really touching moment between her and when Tyrion's trying to talk to her.
Oh.
You know, like you almost felt like, oh, there is a little shred of humanity, especially when, you know, he complimented her that she was always a good mother and loved her babies, you know. And she got all, like, teary about that, like, oh.
Yeah. I didn't really get that. I didn't get a real emotional
She teared
pain
up.
There. Did she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she did.
She swallowed the evil pill.
But
at least she's bringing some humanity to the character. Like she's still probably a good mom and still cares about her children and that feeling of being a mother.
Sure.
That being said, she's not letting that cloud her judgment, which is, I'm going to be the queen. And if there is a baby in that belly, this is going to be the next prince
and
or king.
She's still evil. She had her beheaded, Missandei. Missandei.
Yeah, I don't know.
I never say them right. So I get her and Melisandre mixed up. So it's Missandei.
Yeah, sure. Headless McGee now.
I know, right?
Let's jump back a little bit to Winterfell.
Yes.
And was the Brienne Jaime thing a little bit forced?
Okay, I did not see that coming. And I was a little like, oh, really? I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I was too. I almost like their dynamic is friends, like BFF / you know, life partners, but not humpity hump.
Yeah.
Sex partners.
Yeah, I didn't really get that from them. And I'm not sure why. It just didn't click for me.
Yeah, it just didn't seem to, there was no like organic way of getting to that point. You know, it's
sure.
With six episodes, it seems like they're really chopping out about a total so far after four episodes. There's about an hour and a half missing of stuff.
Yeah.
That we need.
Sure.
And maybe even last season, they should have planted some more of the Jaime, Brienne. Because I didn't really get any romantic vibe from them.
Yeah, I didn't really either. You don't feel that tension kind of building and that flirtatiousness, you know, or, you know, some of the other characters that you have that with. You know, you can tell, oh, they're gonna do it later, you know, those kinds of feelings.
No, definitely.
I don't know.
It's just weird. And it didn't help that Jamie was doing, when he was, you know, he's in there and he's like, oh God, it's so hot. I need to take my shirt off. Yeah. You know what I thought of? I thought of the scene from The Simpsons, and it's a way early episode. And the kid, somebody's babysitting Bart and Maggie, and this one of the punk dudes comes over who's like the boyfriend. He's like, oh, babe, my shirt's so scratchy. I need to take it off, you know? I thought of that guy. It's like, really? Jamie's pulling the whole, like, it's hot in here. I need to take my top off.
Yeah.
It's like the writer's like, I don't know. We could have them say words that are kind of like eloquent and moving and maybe relate to them and their dynamic and the budding love they have. Or we could just have them say, it's hot. I want to take my shirt off, babe. You know? Like, they shorthanded that.
Yeah. It was kind of a brosif moment. Like, they just got her really drunk. And now he's taking advantage of her, and he's going to leave her in the morning or duck out in the night like he did.
So I've read a couple things about, speaking of him ducking out.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I have thoughts too.
I've read a couple things. Mm-hmm. One is he's going to kill Cersei.
Yep, that's my theory.
Then I read a couple more where it's like he's going to protect Cersei either from herself or from getting killed.
No, I think he is willing to die for the cause, and I think it will come that he really is a good guy, and I think that he told, you know, here he is telling Brienne all the bad stuff he's ever done, so I'm like, oh, he's gonna die. I think he's gonna die.
I think he's gonna die too.
He's gonna be the only one that's gonna be able to get close enough to Cersei to kill her, and I think that's what it will take.
I don't know. I don't think she'll let him get too close. She definitely won't let her guard down because she knows that he left. He essentially said as much, I think it was at the last episode last season.
I know, but she gave Tyrion a moment. You don't think she will for Jaime?
Well, I think she will, but
yeah, I think he'll take that opportunity to kill her.
I don't think it's going to be a thing where they're alone together. I think the Mountain is going to be there the whole time.
But maybe Jaime knows he'll die. The Mountain will kill him, but he'll kill Cersei first.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
I don't know, but he kind of played the asshole move with Brienne when he was getting on the horse. Like, kind of like, look, bitch, I got to be me. I got to do my thing. It wasn't like, look, I'll be back, and I have to do something, and I love you.
I think he was doing that so she wouldn't follow.
Oh, maybe.
So she maybe wouldn't follow him.
All right, I forget how this episode ended.
Are
we missing anything?
Well, I'm missing some things. Hang on. We're totally out of order, and sorry, my tired brain couldn't put this in order, but I thought for sure the drunken party one went on way too long. It was like a lot of that. And then it was like, all right, boring. Come on, get on with this. We get it. Everyone here is drunk, celebrating the victory. Everyone's hooking up with everyone, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, wait a minute, this is when shit's going to hit the fan. Like, I thought Cersei was going to attack during that party.
Sure.
Like.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that.
Yeah.
I guess she would probably know that how the fight with the dead turned out.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a way to find out.
Sure.
Them with their ravens and whatnot. Oy.
Sure, sure.
With the flapping and the flying and the hauling messages. Oy.
And then awkward marriage proposal.
Oh, yeah. Gendry?
Yes. And Arya? Yeah. What was he thinking there? You should know that.
He got some. He was probably a virgin, too. A lot of cherry popping going on this season.
I don't know. He said he was with three women. She asked him, remember?
Yeah, he's probably lying. Mm. He's probably bragging, you know? You know, some chick you want to bang? I mean, it depends on who the chick is. It's just how many you've been with. Like, even if you're virgin, you're like, you know, three. Three sounds like the number somebody a virgin would say when they don't want people to know they're a virgin. And if you're a virgin, that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, who cares? She was.
Yeah.
So what's the, who cares?
She got her cherry popped.
Ugh.
Brienne got her cherry popped. Gendry probably got his popped.
I don't know. It's just like the hooking up episode. It was just kind of meh.
Yeah, and Tormund and Podrick all going to slide off to slip it in.
Yeah.
With their respective floozies.
So
Winterfell got some hot whores, by the way.
Those were my extras of the week. My who the heck is that
chick?
Yes. Yep. Who the heck is that chick? My extra actors of the week. Are the ladies of persuasion for Tormund and the Mountain. or not the Mountain, the Hound.
The Hound?
Sorry, yes. Well,
oh, yeah.
He refused, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of the Hound.
Yes.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, everybody's like hooking up in this episode. Were you like me when Sansa was talking to the Hound? You're like, oh, no.
Yes.
Are they going to bone?
I know. I was like, what is happening here? Yeah, that was weird.
I thought that was,
yeah.
The more they talked, it's like the, in my mind, the chances of them fucking went up about 10% for every 5 seconds they were talking to each other.
I agree. I was like, no, this is not somewhere that I want this to go.
So the Hound rode off and Arya kind of tagged along with him.
Yeah.
He's going to kill the Mountain or something, right?
Yeah, they are. They're going to storm the castle and kill people. And Arya's going to hide.
Yeah, who's on her list that hasn't been killed? Cersei, obviously.
Obviously.
Is the Mountain on there? Are they going to tag team the dead Mountain? That'll be cool. And I forget how this episode ended. That's how much I cared about this. That's how memorable it was.
Sorry.
It was not a good episode.
Let's see. I forget how it ended, too. Ooh.
What's that? Boy, that's saying something, isn't it?
I know, right? Was it with Sir Jaime riding off in the night?
Maybe.
Is that where it ended?
I don't know. We're a few days away from the show.
Yeah, sorry.
Like dealing
and
with
I'm
lice and crap.
Tired.
Yeah,
no
and everybody's
sleep.
Tired. Yeah, we'll just say it ended with Jack almost getting discovered by Mr. Roper.
Yeah. So I think Brienne's going to have Sir Jaime's baby.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. I think that might happen.
What, but like episode 6, her last moment on the series will be like she throws up and.
I don't know.
And she'll say, I haven't got my medieval term for a period in 2 weeks now.
I think it was probably still called a period.
I doubt it. It's probably called like the bloodlet.
Anyway,
No, we're done.
No, I have one more thing.
No, what's up?
When. Okay, it also kind of bothered me when Jon was like, don't tell anybody that I'm a Targaryen. And then Sansa just turned around and 5 seconds later told somebody else.
Yeah, like, I swear. Hey, Tyrion, I got some hot dish.
Well,
for you.
But she is smart and she knows how to make people do things. She can manipulate. And so she told Tyrion the information. On purpose, I think.
I don't know if she's that smart.
I think she is. She's very observant.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, maybe she did. so that it would kind of throw a wrench in the Daenerys organization, cause some kerfuffle there.
Well, so then I was going to ask you, when Tyrion was talking to
Lord Varys?
Yeah, Lord Varys. Were they plotting to kill her? It was kind of like, don't say it out loud, or, you know, don't say what I think you're going to say.
That was, yeah.
That's the kind of the implied meaning of that, right?
That was the roundabout way of saying that. I think. That was kind of thrown out there, but nobody was like, eh.
So do you think that's going to happen? Somebody's going to try to kill her?
I don't think so.
Take her out?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't see, Lord Varys is not that person. Tyrion, of the two of them, I could see, like, you know, he's killed before, he's fought.
No, I don't mean like he will do it himself, but he'll make sure that it happens. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, maybe.
Find some way that occurs.
Let me revise that.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. I think they're going to try and... It's going to get to the point where Tyrion's like, look, you dumb bitch. You know, like in the heat of battle or something. John is the king. He is the king.
Yeah.
And then she's going to like lose her shit, bash his skull in, push him over the cliff, whatever.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's more likely.
Huh.
So anyway, Game of Thrones episode 4.
Yeah.
Just kind of hope. You want to move on to Killing Eve?
Sure, sure.
Let's do a little of that.
All right.
Killing Eve, the, I don't know what the name or the number is, but it's the one where they end up, what, partners?
Co-workers.
Villanelle?
Co-workers.
Are they a Kate and Allie type of thing now?
No.
Are they going to buddy up, Cagney and Lacey this?
I don't know. I think they can use her as an asset.
I don't see that going well.
I don't either.
I don't see that Villanelle really being like, okay, team player now.
No.
No. I love the dynamic between those two. It's it is unique and it's fresh.
Well, some of it I like, but some of it kind of bothers me a little bit.
Like the pseudo flirtatious, pseudo lesbian thing going on.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's the man in me is like, they're going to kiss.
Yeah.
But the brain in me thinks like, this is just like a different dynamic. This is like their thing. It's not like it's sexual.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get to why, but, I sometimes don't like that aspect of it because I want to view Eve as she's working for the good guys. She's a good guy. She's trying to catch bad guys who are killing people for money, you know?
Right.
And she understands the complexity of a profile of a killer like that, like a trained assassin or a hired hit man or hit woman in this case. But so I root for her to be a good guy. And I feel like it's not professional and it crosses a line when you have that sexual tension between the two of them. And you definitely do because like when Eve got the floral arrangement, do you remember that on her doorstep at her house?
Yeah, yeah.
And then she took her husband upstairs to have sex with him because she was all hot and bothered by
it. Right, right.
Like, she is enjoying it. She gets pleasure from their little cat and mouse game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. And it could be. I just tend to think, and maybe I'm looking more into it than the sexual thing. It's an exciting, you know, like it's almost like there's stories of people who kill, who like they get like turned on before they do it.
Yeah.
But they don't have sex with the person. I don't know.
Sure.
You're probably right. They're probably going to make out at some point, but it just seems like it's more of like the temptation of it, the crossing the line, flirting with the line.
Yeah.
And seeing how far you can go without actually going there. Because it kind of parallels what Eve is in her job doing
sure.
and feeling.
Sure.
She almost kind of gets off on, you know, these things with Villanelle and tracking her. And I think she was here, you know.
Yeah.
And wait, did they see anything? Were there any pictures? You know, it's almost like the hunt and the prey is
sure.
getting her turned on.
Sure. Yeah, I can understand that. And I think, too, like Eve in her career has blurred some lines. In fact, she had that confrontation with Carolyn's son. What is his name?
Oh, I can't think of it.
I can't either. So, you know, he kind of says, like, I thought you were one of the good ones. And then she has him fired pretty much, like, because he's not on board with.
Yeah.
With her. And
what I think they're kind of the writers, producers, I think they're kind of, you know, I think they're kind of playing with almost like the Breaking Bad narrative arc, not or character arc.
Sure.
Where she's good.
Yeah.
But boy, she doesn't mind being bad sometimes. Sure. I don't know if she's going to go full on evil.
Right.
When the show's over, I don't think Eve is going to be, you know, in handcuffs because she killed four people.
Sure.
Starting with Villanelle or whatever.
Well, it's kind of that fine line too, kind of riding that wave. Like, I have this under control. I can maintain who I am, you know, my yeah. morals, foundations, my core, but still, you know, run with and, you know, track and find dangerous, ruthless, evil people.
Yeah.
So.
What about, what?
Well, can I just say, I do have one little complaint with this show. And
what's
that's
that?
Some of those secondary characters. Like, they just haven't, written them in enough where, like, I can't remember their names. Like, Eve's coworkers, you know?
The
like, there's
lady.
The pregnant lady, yeah, and the young dude. And I'm like, I don't know their names. They're just not... There's not enough substance there for me yet to
yeah.
be vested into those characters. And they lend themselves well to the show, but they just haven't kind of built that up for me. And maybe it's the dialogue writing for them. I'm not sure, but they're just not super memorable. And also, sometimes I have a hard time understanding. I think I'm getting to the age where I can't hear them very well.
Is it the British accent?
Yeah, sometimes they're a little thicker,
yeah.
and I'm like, what'd they say? And I have to turn subtitles on.
Yeah.
And then once I read it, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, now I could hear that.
I know, it seems like we're turning on subtitles more these days.
I know, right?
not even for British thick accent shows.
Yeah.
And that could be a whole nother side podcast about, like, audio levels and sound engineering and mixing in these TV shows. But yeah, I agree with you on the characters.
Yeah.
I like the pregnant lady.
Yeah.
She's interesting. I like the dynamic with her and Eve.
Yeah.
I like that Eve was rubbing her feet while they were talking.
I know,
that was
cute.
Like one of those little touches that adds to it. That's a good sign of good writing, because it adds. You instantly know about their relationship without expository dialogue. And,
sure.
You know, she's rubbing her feet. That tells me that she trusts her.
Yeah.
And that also that Eve is, you know, she's not afraid.
Yeah.
You know, who wants to put their hands on somebody's stinky, sweaty feet? You know, Eve doesn't care.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I like that character.
Yeah.
But again, like you, I can't remember her name.
I know. So some of the secondaries, I'm just having a hard time with them. Even Carolyn's name, the redheaded boss lady, I just finally figured that out this
yeah,
week.
Yeah.
Like, that's her name. Okay, I got it now.
Well, probably repetition breeds familiarity.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they said Carolyn probably three times
sure.
in that episode.
Sure.
But it was interesting. I didn't realize that Eve's husband... Nico
mm-hmm.
had never met Villanelle or
yeah.
even seen her picture. That was,
yeah.
And I love that he like pinned her up against the wall and like put the arm bar on her throat.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Look at
like
this
he's
guy.
He's not afraid of you either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a tough
like,
guy.
Ooh.
Look at Mr. Mustache.
Well, and then I instantly thought like, oh, great. Are they going to write in a threesome with these three?
No, I don't see that. Well, maybe. How?
I thought that was pretty crazy of her to go visit him.
Yeah, she's brazen, to say the least.
Can I just say, I didn't understand the purpose of the awkward psychopath presentation, you know, the little PowerPoint, until later on when I saw him talking with Carolyn. And yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, nobody knew that until when they were in the stacks, him and Carolyn, yeah.
Right. But I'm thinking, these people in their career and their line of work, like, surely they already know about psychopaths. Like, they've already had that presentation a long, long time ago.
Well, I think they do. It seemed like it was just a test. It sounds like she tasked him to do this presentation.
Yeah.
And the whole time, keep an eye on Eve while you're doing this. Well, I want to see how she reacts.
Yeah.
And
I get the purpose of it now, but
I'm sure they have
it. That logic just didn't make sense to me, I guess.
I think Carolyn just wanted to see if Eve was square and, like, you know, if she could still trust her, if she's still focused and not losing her becoming a psychopath, which she kind of sort of is.
Sure.
Sounds like.
Sure.
But, Killing Eve, good episode. I kind of miss, and maybe he's just a one-off character, the Villanelle's new handler guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who we saw introduced to two episodes ago.
Yeah.
I know. I like that character for some reason.
Well, now she's back with Papa, what's his name?
Constantine.
Yes, Constantine. Yeah, their dynamic is interesting.
I'm trying to think of any kills in Killing Eve that were.
Well, can I interrupt in that one?
Mm-hmm.
The tension built was really good in this episode. The, you know, the process of Eve as bait when she has the poor fitting vest on and she's hot and sweaty going through the subway. And, you know, there's that tension with the person on the platform. You know, that they did a good job building that tension in that scene. And I thought that was really good.
It's interesting. You know, you see that moment with the guy on the platform where she's thinking about pushing him.
Yeah.
And then you think about the title of Killing Eve, and it's almost like the thesis of the show is Eve is killing Eve.
Yeah.
You know, like she's slowly letting herself go and, you know,
sink into that world.
Yeah. Like she's killing her, throwing it all away the more she gets wrapped up in this stuff.
But she doesn't. She thinks about it.
Well, I mean, have we ever seen her almost in cold blood kill somebody?
I mean, she stabbed Villanelle. That was traumatic for her, though. I don't think she's actually a killer. I think that maybe you can be a psychopath without actually killing people. And I think she might be one.
Hmm. Maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
I don't know, maybe not. But the tension also, like I said, when Villanelle went to Eve's house, when they kind of address the stabbing, like she's like, are you going to apologize? No. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I didn't know if they were going to start fighting and killing each other or kissing. Yeah, I was not quite sure what was going to happen there.
Clam bump.
Oh, man. Don't be crude.
It wasn't nearly as tense for me as it was when she first came to Eve's house.
Yeah.
In season one, mid to late season one?
Sure.
That was pretty tense.
Yeah.
But, it was more playful this time around. I like how Eve is like, I'm going to take these pills. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Villanelle made her think it was actually going to kill her. But lo and behold. But she brought that champagne Villanelle did. I was like, don't drink that.
I know, right? I was like, that's poisoned.
You've seen the stuff this woman's done. Yeah. You know who she is. Do not accept even a handshake from her.
I think that's just Eve telling her, I'm calling your bluff. I know you and you know me and you're not really going to do this to me.
Maybe she is a psychopath because she like doesn't care and is willing to throw it and risk to the wind.
I guess.
I can't think of any of the kills or kill from this week?
So she had a hit for the guy in the car wash. Remember she threw the milkshake?
Oh, yeah.
Which she totally had like a Britney Spears look right there. She's like standing there drinking that milkshake.
Oh, baby.
And
I'm gonna slit your throat.
Yep, and she found him in the car wash and strawberry pureed his brains, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it, though, right? No kills other than that, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. Well, no, she tortured the ghost.
Yeah, but she didn't kill her.
She didn't kill her.
I'm a little surprised by that.
Me too.
And I'm also surprised that Eve let her go in there by herself. What?
Another surprise for me, and this is kind of another extra actor of the week, but Villanelle with the bellhop. Do you remember that? She's like grieving Eve because the hit has been put out on Eve and she's like grieving, you know, she's crying and wearing black and she ordered room service and she has the boy like stroke her hair and she like snaps at him and I was like, oh, she's going to kill him. I thought she was going to kill that kid.
I wonder if, what's her name? Jodie Cromer is the actress who plays Villanelle.
Yeah.
I would like to see an interview with her because I get the feeling she plays Villanelle as if everybody she encounters, she's going to kill.
Huh.
Like, she wants everybody to think every character Villanelle comes into contact with is about 80% chance they're going to be a victim.
Sure.
Anyway,
yeah.
I would like to see an interview with her. You think she's pretty?
Yeah. Yeah, in kind of a... Yeah, kind of a sweet, simple kind of way.
Yeah. I think so, too. But it's going to be, she's going to be ruined for me when I see she co-stars with Tom Cruise in a Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah.
And she's going to get her hair all bleached out and it's going to be wavy.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, I used to like you.
I know, right? She'll be all like made up Hollywood weird.
Yeah. And it's not about Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise. It's about like, she's playing that.
Yeah.
And like, eh.
I don't know. Maybe she's above that.
Maybe.
She should go for roles that are...
Do some...
You know, a little challenging.
Do some artsy-fartsy with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't
know. Paul S. Anderson.
Something like
Paul Thomas Anderson. All right, should we wrap this up?
Yeah, I think so. That's all I get.
All right. Maybe quickly, Barry?
Oh.
Just real quick?
Yeah.
I'm not remembering much from that. Again, that
so
was Sunday.
Tired.
I mean, it was good. Barry's always good.
Yeah.
And it's, the accordion player.
Oh, yeah.
The accordion player sold
NoHo
Hank out.
Yep.
What does that stand for? North Hollywood Hank? Is that what that means?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. Isn't that funny how just yipping at the accordion for busting into his... trade his craft.
Yes.
And that's what gets you is probably killed.
That's funny. Yep. Yep. I think that Crystal Ball and what's the other one's name?
Esther
are going to make him get in contact with Barry and they're going to bring Barry back in to do more killing and he's going to just keep getting thrust back into that world.
I like that theory.
Yeah.
I like that. Like he's, it's almost like it'd be a relief if they killed Barry, but no, they're not going to kill you. You're going to go kill this other drug cartel guy or whatever.
Yeah. They're going to,
that's your penance.
Yeah. They're going to use Hank to get to Barry and Barry is going to belong to them somehow, some way.
Yeah.
So that's a little thought that I had about that. So they did the scene, right? They did the
where Moss gets shot?
No, the
oh, yeah.
The
Sally.
Play with Sally and what was
Watch
the
foot.
The ex-husband's name?
Sam.
Yeah. They did the scene where you know, Barry kept having flashbacks though to Moss. That was interesting how you know, that is going to start to eat at him. He's trying to build this other world, but he killed somebody in that world too, you know? And now he's got to live with that and he has to face that person. And he kind of looks to that person as a fatherly figure.
Yeah. When that is revealed, I gotta imagine Barry's gonna feel horrible.
Oh, and then Fuchs stalking, finding the car happened, and him sitting in the same restaurant as Cousineau. Can't ever remember that name either. Cousineau. That was kind of like, oh, creepy. And so he's always going to have him in his head and to contend with, too, you know.
But Fuchs is going to fuck that up.
Do you think?
I think he's going to. He seems kind of a fuddy-duddy.
Like a doofy guy?
He's a little doofy.
Barry, though.
Well, you know, did he, though?
He was Barry's handler and his guy.
But he's essentially just a middleman.
You think?
Like, Barry was trained in killing in Afghanistan and the military and all that. You know? Fuchs didn't teach him how to, you know, put a silencer on and, you know, not leave fingerprints and take this guy out and go through the elevator shaft. You know, he just seems like a, like some corporate middle management schmuck who stumbled upon this trained killer and is like, hey, I can put you in contact with people.
I don't know. I think he said as much when he was wearing the wire for, what's his name? See, this is why I can't do this when I'm tired. I don't remember anybody's names.
Loesch. Yeah, I think Loesch. The detective who's now dead.
Yeah. And I thought he said, like, I built his brain. Just give me another shot at him, you know?
Yeah.
I think Fuchs did have a hand in some of his mental, maybe, training to be a trained killer.
Or that's just Fuchs saying that.
I don't know.
To give him some more credence with the detective. Like, if the detective, if you told the detective, he came from Afghanistan and I contacted him with these people, wanted other people dead.
I know. He seems to know how to manipulate Barry and get him to do what he wants.
I don't think so. I think Barry kind of told him several times to fuck off.
Yeah.
But because he had that heart to heart with Cousineau, he felt he went to Fuchs.
Yeah.
Because remember, Fuchs is trying to get out of that hotel and haul ass out of Dodge.
Yep.
But Barry came back to him and Fuchs is kind of like, okay, let's keep doing our thing here.
Yeah.
I don't think Fuchs is super smart. I don't think he's a puppet string puller.
Okay.
I don't know. Real quick.
Yes.
And then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
The Ronnie Lily episode last week.
Yeah.
Lily's still out there.
Okay.
Do they tie that up? Like, is that going to come back in episode 8, season finale, where
I don't know.
You see her at the very least, like, running in the background or jumping onto a tree?
I don't know. That whole thing was weird.
I got to imagine that's going to come back to haunt Barry at some point.
Yeah, it's a loose end. There aren't supposed to be any witnesses or... Yeah. But maybe it's not a loose end because she is not, like, human anymore. So maybe she won't tell the tale of Barry. You know what I mean?
But, like, it'll come out that she, you know, she did go feral into some wild, you know, animal instinct type mode.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody found her, got her to some therapy, cracked that nut, got her back to normal, and she was able to tell everybody what happened. And
maybe
here she is in her nice new school clothes with the cops and the therapist behind her saying, that's the guy right there.
Maybe. Who knows?
Oh, I don't know. I got to believe that's going to come back
at
some point in a future episode. And speaking of future episodes, let's put this puppy to bed.
All right.
Let's put this lice-covered baby to bed.
Oh, good Lord. No more lice.
Call back to an earlier mention.
It's the worst.
Yes, it is. All right. Married with Channels podcast. Yeah. Married couple talking about some TV.
Yay.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. Talking more Game of Thrones, definitely.
Yep.
And some other stuff. I'm the husband Moose.
I'm the wife Jody.
And I love you.
I love you.